due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Now, and as happy as you are to be the champion, I might be a little bit happier. So you go and be a warrior, because I'm going to go be a mother.
Hey, this is Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 16th. Holidays today, real quick, it's Armed Forces Day, Love a Tree Day, National Sea Monkey Day, and Wearing Purple for Peace Day. Happy 59th birthday to WWE Hall of Famer from the class of 2016, that's The Godfather. He's 59 today. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Let me introduce the cast and crew of the show right now. If you're watching on Facebook Live, we've got four squares of wrestling knowledge that's being pumped in your direction. We'll start with the top left corner. From what I see, it's Furby. Good morning, Furbs.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And to his right, top right corner, DC Dan Cole from North Carolina.
Good morning.
Just below him, the artiste joins us for another week, Rob Sanderson. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
But, Rob, are you still in Rochester?
I am.
Okay.
At least until hockey starts back up, I would assume.
So you'll be in Rochester. And, of course, to his left, the boy who grew up on the show, Danger Boy.
Hey, all there, you cool cats and kittens.
Oh, I haven't heard that one in a while.
What are we watching? Easy there, Baskin.
Yeah, I know. What are you watching? Never mind. By the way, I want to let you know that the best way to light for these cameras is put the light behind the camera pointed at the person. Just want to let you guys know that. So it just makes your face, for instance, Furby's in the dark if you're watching it very closely. If you have a light on the other side of where you're looking at the camera, it actually brightens up. But you guys do pretty good. You're looking very handsome this morning, all you guys. Thank you.
I can look even better by doing this.
No.
What an improvement.
Sanderson just shut the microphone or the camera off. But hey, we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling, and impromptuly, we'll be doing 2 hours today. We'll be going to noon. We've had some technical difficulties.
Impromptuly. I'm going to call that out.
Okay, you got to. You have your thesaurus.
Is that a new word?
Who knows? I thought you could put L-Y. I thought you could put an L-Y on anything, couldn't you? So, welcome to the show. We're here to talk pro wrestling. And let's just start off right from the bat. You can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280, if you want to come on and talk with us. But we're going to start off right with what we heard in the beginning of the show with Becky Lynch. Big announcement on Monday. I mean, it seemed kind of like it was coming to that anyways, you know. I mean, why would, you know, you have such a big deal about after the Money in the Bank was discovered? But Becky Lynch is pregnant, obviously. The 9-month injury, as we call it. She's the baby.
Thanks, Seth.
Seth, first you had to hurt Finn Balor, and then you went and hurt Sting. Now
he's always working stiff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He said I'm not going to comment on that. But nevertheless, Becky had to turn a belt over to Asuka, which is, I guess, a good choice. What do you guys think about how that was done?
I think that was really the only choice. Asuka's the strongest one to take over for her. And she's been the one of the bright spots of these empty arena shows has been Asuka. So let her run with it.
Yeah, and I think it was a good choice, especially with the segment coming out that she actually didn't know ahead of time that they were going to tell her that Becky was pregnant. It looked like a genuine emotion when she was on TV on Monday. That actually was probably one of the better quarter hours that any show has done since we went to these empty arena shows.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think everybody would agree. It was genuine, like Danger Boy said. It was really cool. I mean, I wonder if Asuka knew that she was getting the belt but didn't know why, or if she didn't know any of it. Regardless, it came off really well. I thought it was an awesome segment, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And my biggest thought about it is it felt real. You know, just like Danger Boy said, you know, it was genuine. It definitely felt real. It felt like it was kind of like a shock to a lot of the people. Seemed like some of the people may have not known. So to see all the happiness, it was pretty nice. It was pretty cool. It, especially in the time that we're in, just see something that was positive. Come out of this, you know, I'm glad that Asuka is the champ now. I think it gives us a lot of opportunity to see other stuff. I know one thing that we haven't seen really was her and Shayna Baszler. I mean, that I don't think that really happened in NXT. So, you know, see that now on the main roster will be a new light here.
You know what I liked about it, and it wasn't just the Asuka doing the Yosemite Sam or screaming and running around like, you know, she, you know, frask him, what the rah, rah, you know, she was just going nuts. I liked that a lot, but there was at one point I was thinking, you know, the way how kind of weepy Becky was going into the announcement that maybe she was going to announce she was injured too. I didn't, you know, I mean, technically, you know, we joke about the 9-month injury, but, you know, technically she's going to be done. And who knows if she'll come back. You know, I mean, she's 34. You know, this is a big deal when you get to be like in your mid 30s and have a baby. It's pretty, you know, you have to pretty much concentrate on, you know, making sure everything, you know, works out okay. And who knows, you know, once you have a baby, you know, maybe she'll want to stay home and let Seth go to work every day. You know, I was just waiting to see how long it would take before they actually acknowledge it to Seth Rollins. And it was a while, you know. I mean, it wasn't mentioned until a backstage interview, maybe an hour later. So did you think, I thought that with the handshake at Money in the Bank with the champ after losing to the champ, you know, Drew McIntyre there, I thought, okay, this is an automatic face change, you know, because his wife's pregnant or his girlfriend. They might be married. Who knows? You know, you never know that stuff. But they're probably married now. You know, fly to Vegas, get it done real quick. But, you know, I thought that maybe...
Nothing in Vegas is open.
No, that's true. That's true. But what do you think? I mean, do you think that... I mean, and then obviously what he did to Ray after that, obviously it was not a face turn. So I'm kind of disappointed about that a little bit because you could use more faces, I think, you know, on Monday Night Raw. What do you guys think?
I disagree. Keep him heel. We've had text conversations this week. I think WWE should turn into this Becky Lynch pregnancy full tilt with Seth Rollins. Totally have him take his Messiah character, the Savior character, over the top. Please. It'll be entertaining as hell. Don't turn him face.
The fact she's due in December is one of the great
icing wizards. On the cake.
Yeah. One of the great coincidences is, and then they played it up. I will say though, the best promo the entire week about the whole thing was Shayna Baszler. Her promo was fantastic. I love that whole thing.
It was fantastic. I think Shayna is one of the best things on TV. But going back to the whole Seth part of the pregnancy, you know, I'm glad that they did not turn him face. I know that was one of the things that I had said after the show at Money in the Bank. You know, I think it was just an evolution of his Messiah character. I think this is the part where we see him kind of go crazy and nuts. I mean, he looked psychotic and basically incoherent when he was in that tag match on Monday night. So to end the show. So it's kind of interesting. See what's going to happen. You know, he went off on Ray, and now do we see the psycho side of Seth, and does the baby become the Savior?
You know, and you notice the gouging of Rey Mysterio's eye area into the steps. But remember this, too. You know, there was some rules thrown down, and this is one that happened during that match. If Vince McMahon tells the referees, if the guys are out of the ring for the 10 count, then call and count him out. And that's what happened in that match. You know, I mean, that was the only thing I thought that was kind of odd was, you know, I mean, it kind of went crazy. I mean, I didn't know what was going on in the end of the match, especially when he was attacking Ray. I wasn't sure. I mean, I didn't think the match was over, but obviously the 10 count. But that was, I guess, a new McMahon rule about.
They disqualified him. They didn't do it. Count. They disqualified him.
Oh, they disqualified. I thought it was 10 counted out because but we couldn't tell. We just all of a sudden focused on what was going on ringside. So that's the only thing, kind of weirdness. But then, you know, he did do that face coming up the aisle when he was leaving, you know. And then I don't know if you saw the backstage interview where he goes, I don't know what happened. And then get out of here. And they all started kind of brawling backstage in the back area. But I think they're starting to get the hang of doing this stuff with no audience. It's becoming more compelling than it was in the beginning, you know. And I mean, and you know, my major complaint is, yes, we've got the same groups on every Monday, but we got, you know, some people coming back slowly but surely. You know, we're in a soft open right now here in New York with the phase one of the soft open, they call it. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I mean, people will be going back to work, which is a good thing. I'm hoping to see you guys' lovely faces back here in the studio, you know, sometime soon. But and Danny, you can always be on camera, so I think that's pretty cool. You always can be a part of this as long as you got the time. But how are you feeling about Raw? Is it starting to, like, you know, do some stuff right? I mean, I found it more compelling last week, and you know, than I have in a while, just because of all the different things that were actually going on. And the Iconics, of course, came back. You know, anyone have thoughts on that? Yeah, I say Fergie.
I thought this week was probably one of the best Monday Night Raws they've had since they went, obviously, to the no crowds. I think there was just so much going on between debuts and news and just evolution of characters. Two things we've already hit on. But, you know, going to the debut, I guess, or bringing back of or the return, I should actually say, of the Iconics. I think I'm a huge fan of the Iconics. I love Peyton Royce. And I just think their character is so outlandish and they're so goofy that it brings some personality to the women's tag division that, you know, that has kind of gotten boring a little bit. I mean, for a good 3-4 months, all we saw was Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus the Kabuki Warriors. Now this brings a whole nother level into this. So, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do. And, of course, they've got the Tag Team Championship match this coming Monday against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. So maybe they can become two-time Tag Team Champions.
Well, they certainly beat them, on TV this past week. So, you know, I like now I know that they weren't really, you know, a powerhouse tag team. Remember the problem that Bayley and Sasha Banks had when they lost the belts to them, you know. Then they, you know, they felt that, you know, that the belts were a joke at that point. So
I could definitely see their point, but I guess that's what makes them so unique as a tag team, and especially in a women's division where you're trying to bring in tag team wrestling and promote these belts. It's got to be different than just the powerhouse single contenders that you know they have in Charlotte and Bayley and Becky Lynch and Sasha, you know, the four horsewomen. Give the other women an opportunity who obviously cannot be, but may not be able to stand alone at this time as a singles champion, and let them run with it as the tag team. And you know, that's what I liked about them when they won at WrestleMania 35 when they took the titles. It was unexpected. No one thought that they were going to go with these two women, and they did. And I think they did some good stuff, you know, throughout the next few months when they were champs. And then they dropped the belts, and then they kind of disappeared for a bit. So it'll be kind of nice to see new faces on your television this week.
And I will say one thing too: they can wrestle. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Peyton Royce is a great wrestler. I think they're good women wrestlers. I don't have a problem with their ability. So, you know,
I think they're two of the most entertaining people in that company. They're definitely my favorite women's tag team. Would love to see the belts back with them. But I mean, even just the social media stuff they do. I mean, they're they're two hilarious women. So I'm a big fan of the Iconics.
Yeah.
I was going to go say follow Peyton Royce on every single social media that you can. She's very entertaining.
She's been cooking recently too. I saw that she made some banana bread.
She's not baking all that well, but she's trying.
Yeah, it's so, her and Tennille.
And some Sean Spears cameos.
And Sean Spears is in all of them. Yeah, they're working out in their gym together, or in their garage together. But I love seeing those guys. It's cool that, you know, when you have one person working for one company and one working for the other. Got to cut that a couple ways. And actually, something came out this week about Britt Baker. Mick Foley went and said, you know, he came out and put this video out a couple days ago. It was Wednesday. And the video said where he spent a minute going, Britt Baker is the greatest wrestling dentist in the history of the sport, you know. And then he had to go through and list a couple of them, like Isaac Yankum and some other people that she was better than. So why don't we go to break?
Shout out to Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah, Decatur. That's right, Decatur, Illinois. Where are there any teeth there? That's a question. No. I'm kidding. If you're listening from there, I'm busting chops. We got to go to break on that.
I used to live kind of near there, so
yeah, it's true. You did. We're gonna go to break on that. Come back. Talk Money in the Bank. AEW's got a pay per view a week from Saturday. Great show this past week. Loved what they did this past week. Man, there's some good wrestling on TV now if you're a fan. And the thing is now the world's kind of going to reopen, and this stuff's going to be in mid-stride, so I'm excited about that. We're going to go to break. We'll be back on the flip side. Give us a call, by the way, 222-1280, star 128. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
The AEW World Championship is about a lot more than a piece of metal, and you are going to find that out on May 23rd at Double or Nothing. There will be a hailstorm of violence, and when the dust settles, Mr. Lee, you may very well find your AEW career is over before it started.
NXT will take over one more time on June 7th, live on the WWE Network. NXT TakeOver in your house. The brand that delivers will deliver one more time on June 7th. NXT TakeOver in your house.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Pig crap. I remember it now. Henry Godwin put your face down in pig crap, and he pushed your face all in it. There was pig poop all in your mustache.
Hit the battle music.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Pig crap, huh? In your house coming. We'll talk about that. We've got 2 hours today. We're going to noon. Having some technical difficulties with Kick This. So they said, hey, stay on if you can. And it's like, we can. So we're going to. So tell your friends. We'll be on until noon. You can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. I'm the Cash Man. Danger Boy, Furby, DC Dan Cole, and the artiste Rob Sanderson are with you. Money in the Bank, guys. Money in the Bank. Let's talk about them running around through the corporate headquarters of WWE. Actually, not bad matches from the Performance Center. I enjoyed what was going on. I mean, thoughts on that? Anybody have, you know, I mean, the Money in Bank, obviously, was the cinematic style done once again. And there was some comedy. Yes, lots of comedy, you know. And by the way, Furby, good idea with the light there. Now I see you nice and clear.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a whole new setup in my room. Like, I've done it in 5 different angles, and this is definitely not the most comfortable. Hey, the other one was, hey, but you couldn't see me.
Ladies,
it would look a little bit better without that Eagles logo right there, though.
Lady, he's single, so if you want to see his belt, you're going to have to get to his bedroom. So, no, I'm kidding. If you got to be watching on Facebook Live, I know it's been terrible, but I'm always pimping you, bro. You're the beefcake of the Pain Clinic. So, so Money in the Bank, it was interesting.
How does one get that title, exactly? I mean, we got 2 hours.
I don't know.
And I'm only starting to look better these days. I've dropped 42 pounds since the Super Bowl, so
That's why. That's how he gets the title. I don't know. What else?
Weird. I've gained 42 pounds since.
I was going to say, you know, with this isolation.
Why the 49ers have to lose?
Oh, man. But, yeah, who knows, ladies? Maybe they take one of the belts from his bedroom wall. You know, it depends. But let's talk about Money in the Bank. So it did end quite early. I will note that. Some notes. It was done by 9:30.
That was nice.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. It's like, this can't be done this early? And it
got
was.
Got to shoot right over to the last dance, and oh, we missed half an hour of the last dance and caught up all and watched them all to that night.
That's right. So let's first talk about cinematic style. Two matches simultaneously going on at the same time. You know, we had cameo by who's the guy that was on the scooter?
Laurinaitis.
Yeah, Johnny Laurinaitis, and he got pied by the winner, of course. But we got a couple. Yeah, there's a couple appearances. You know, Vince McMahon, of course, as well. And we got to see the T-Rex, which we had been talking about for about 4 weeks. Now the T-Rex on the wall, but it came down to, and I'm still curious why Baron Corbin's not being questioned by police for throwing two guys off the top of a building, but Otis, yes, he's kind of the hot thing right now. It should have made sense that, you know, not one of us was right on who was going to win. You know, we talked about that, made our predictions last week, but Otis takes...
Because we don't want to predict things that we don't want to happen. I'm going to speak for myself on that. No, I don't like that result.
No, you are correct.
And, hey, now, time out. In my defense, I said the women's match would be won by Asuka, and I said my only requirement for the men's match is it wasn't Baron Corbin. So win-win, Cash.
You almost got Baron Corbin. It was that close. You know, I mean, if he didn't drop.
I want to know why when Asuka and Baron Corbin were on the ladder at the same time, they just didn't grab the briefcases at the same time. That's what's mysterious to me.
Yeah, there's just, you know, it just was done silly, you know, there's no seriousness taken in that whatsoever. I'm sure we'll get a behind the scenes like the Undertaker's, you know, Boneyard match showing all the different things. I want to know is why did Asuka jump into the elevator and then get out before getting on the roof? Because then she had to join the crew again. She would have been an easier win if she had just gone up to the roof and got out there, you know.
And she was in that elevator.
They're building a new building. Like, if their elevator's going to take 10 minutes to get to the top, then they need a new office building.
Well, apparently they were supposed to move out. They were supposed to move out during this pandemic. And so they weren't, you know, but they figured that's why they could wreck things, like the big mirror in the gym and, you know, just causing, you know, mayhem. And the only thing they left behind, I think, was that Andre the Giant statue that was in the lobby there. But it started.
And the T-Rex.
And the T-Rex.
They didn't trash a T-Rex.
No, I don't think Vince would let them. That probably costs a gazillion, you know? I mean, it's probably not cheap to get a T-Rex bones, you know? But overall, yeah, I mean, so it was nice. It was short, and we got a nice winner. You know, we got two winners. Otis, you know, obviously, who, you know, very small percentage of people who win Money in the Bank do not win the heavyweight title. So is this...
So like, here comes the next one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Otis is not winning the belt in the next year. Come on. Yeah. Like, it's, can that really happen?
Now, come on. They've established, though nobody ever cares, that Money in the Bank is guaranteed championship match. It doesn't really specify which championship. So could it be used for a mid-card title? Yeah. Could it be used for a tag title? Yeah. Although after this week, I have a feeling that they might just do a breakup with Tucker, because how does he say he needs a tag partner? And somewhere there's Tucker with tears rolling down his cheeks.
I kind of laugh too. It's like, wait a second, you know, he's in a tag match and he has a tag team partner. That's, I mean, unless now suddenly maybe Otis gets attacked by a masked man who, you know, hits him in the knee with a bar or something, and you find out it's Tucker later for forgetting about him. But
they did say Tucker was having some intestinal issues, though, on Friday. So maybe he just wasn't ready for the job on Friday.
Yeah, well.
You know, as it happened, I wasn't too wild about the Otis win. But I think of all the people, they have the most possibilities with him. You could do a mid-card cash, and you could do a tag cash, and you could do where Mandy manipulates him and gets the briefcase off of him. You could have him lose it to somebody, which would be entirely believable. So,
but I just think about, like, how would you cash in on a mid-card title? Like, that would make you seem like the person with the least aspirations in the history of professional wrestling.
He's never like, claimed to be a bright man.
No, no, he could go for the 205 title or I'm guessing, I never thought about it, but maybe Mandy could talk it out of him, and then maybe if, say, you know, gives her a shot at the women's title. Yeah, I mean, and then you could create a whole breakup story between them.
I think that's exactly where it's going. You know, it's been known that Vince has thought highly of Mandy Rose and sees her as a star. I think this is a perfect way to allude to an eventual breakup between the two. And I think that's what gives us that angle, rather than, you know, Ziggler trying to steal her again or something along that sort. And again, like we've said, Otis is goofy. He's funny. You know, this thing that they got going right now with Mandy is some of the better stuff. It's outlandish. You know, what we're going to see for it, I think we are going to see stuff that we haven't seen before with the briefcase. You know, maybe a mid-card title cash-in. You know, we even saw him attempt to go after, you know, Strowman yesterday after the tag match. I don't think that's necessarily where it's going to run. But, you know, there's so many different possibilities, like DC said, that you could do with this, with the briefcase being on Otis. That brings a little bit different than we've seen in the past.
You know, and honestly, it does guarantee that we don't get a Baron Corbin title run, because that's what everybody was fearing out of this, was that he would take it and, you know, and get the title run. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I picked AJ Styles. He at least had it in his hands before it got knocked out and landed in Otis's hands. It's almost as good as when Carmella won, you know, when... what was that? Who was that dude? I can't remember.
Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The first ever women's Money in the Bank winner.
Yes.
James that Ellsworth. Clown.
Who threw it to Carmella, and she won. And then, you know, but did you guys, like, dig at all? Any, like, tour of WWE headquarters? I mean, we didn't really see that much of it. Just a lot of hallways.
I just hope the next time they do this match, if they had to do or they want to do it in a different setting like that, do it in the warehouse. As opposed to the offices. I want to see I love the warehouse tours anytime we can see that stuff.
You want to see the concrete vat, you know, and
somebody can get thrown off the big SmackDown fist, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest complaint with the whole cinematic Money in the Bank match was the fact that there wasn't actually much done in the ring. I know that they were trying to hit on the point of climbing up the corporate ladder and going through the building to see who gets there first. But the fact that the women's match ended with only three people reaching the ring, that kind of turned me off a little bit. I didn't really have an issue with the winner, but the fact that there was literally only three women in the ring when the match finalized, that turned me off.
Well, it just seemed like it was such an abrupt ending to the women's part. Like, it was just like, that's really already over. And I don't even want to complain about that, because talked about how, like, quick that pay-per-view was, and between that and, like, the individual nights of WrestleMania, I'm liking these shorter pay-per-views. I don't want to sit there for 8 hours. So, in a way, that's nice, but the women's match, it seemed like it was just like you didn't believe that it was actually already over at that point. Mm-hmm. Just came out of nowhere.
No, I agree.
You know, what's funny is I saw Sasha Banks. There were some quotes from her yesterday about how she thinks she could have turned that into a better match for the women's match. But, of course, she was back in the Performance Center with Bayley going up against Tamina Snuka there, which a lot of people were calling for Tamina. The way they kept talking about her, you knew either she was going to win it or she was going to get destroyed. And, of course, she did not win it. So, But Sasha, you know, is playing the good friend right now. We're going to get the breakup eventually. Maybe they'll wait all the way to WrestleMania, because they could have done it a couple of years ago and held it off then. But
hang on. With that result, does Rick have to call in and apologize to me? After questioning my intellect last week about saying Tamina's trash, because that was Tamina's best match, and she looked terrible.
Rick was questioning your intellect?
He's like, why would you say that Tamina's not good? Why would you say that?
Did you watch the match now? Yeah, she, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you know what, if Tamina wants to wrestle a match like the Big Show, you know, every week, because that she was pretty much just doing power moves. There wasn't really a lot of wrestling going on, you know. Bayley, on the other hand, is running around in circles around her. So it was, yeah, you know, that so Money in the Bank was, you know, it was fun. It was short. And if the next few are like this, you know, even the new In Your House that they announced going in, That would be great. Why don't we go to break on that and maybe talk about some other things, including, I know I teased AEW. We're going to get to AEW. But also, we have new NXT tag champs, too, that I want to talk about. And I thought that was pretty cool. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 12.
Just because you got upstaged by something the size of a jelly bean doesn't mean you deserve a shot at this, these championships. And you know, these, just like the baby in Becky's stomach, these are our babies.
All right, that's fine then. Look, don't put the titles on the line then.
But we are not leaving without a match. Billy and I do not need the championships to prove just how motivated we are to win.
Hey, it's Beth Phoenix from the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Someone's got to tell babies aren't in your tummy. I mean, well, never mind. I don't want to. I'm not gonna get into the semantics of that statement we just heard. I could barely understand what she's saying anyways. 2-2-2-12-8. You know what? Before we go to the phone, we have a phone call. I'm guessing Danger Boy, but you might know who's calling. But before that, I want to let you know real quick that we got a couple of texts. Here's one. Who is the female ref? She is awful.
Jessica Carr?
Are we talking WWE? Yeah. Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, either way, whether it's Jessica Carr or Aubrey Edwards, I would disagree with that. But. Okay.
Correct. I think Jessica Carr was one of the refs they have.
Okay. Yeah. This was texted in to us as well, and you can text us at 222-1280 if you don't want to call in. How can the men's Money in the Bank briefcase be used by a woman? I'm guessing that may not be too difficult thing because it's a Money in the Bank. You know,
it's called storyline. Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
They change the rules all the time. So let's go to the.
Yes, it's the men's briefcase, but inside is just a generic contract for a title match.
Yeah, remember that. So it's a yes, it is,
and it's probably just a piece of paper that's not even really a contract. So
wouldn't it be great if they like Otis goes to cash in and like he accidentally took the contract out and put some of his mom's fruitcakes in there or something?
Yeah, well, I was guessing his lunch was going to come out of it at some point, but you know what? I mean,
I would carry around a loaf of Salvatore's garlic bread in there.
That's right. We'll do. Oh, I can't wait to eat.
Yeah. With a quick note on that for honey buns.
Yeah, honey buns.
The trick to that, I finally tried this week. Order it crispy, and you won't regret it.
Okay, and I can't wait till we can get back to Salvatore's and watch UFCs again. We would last weekend would have been a fun one to watch, you know. But in time we will. But speaking of challenging someone, Danger Boy on the phone, we've got Rick from Rochester. Rick, what's up, buddy?
My ears are ringing over here. It sounds like somebody was calling me out over here, Danger Boy. I will be the bigger man, and I appreciate you calling me out because I wasn't going to call. I was just going to listen. Danger Boy, you were absolutely 125% correct, sir.
But that's physically, that's impossible because you can't go over 100%.
We got some Steiner math going on.
Yeah. All right, now get that out of the way. All right, I did my due diligence. Now, what kind of person was in that dumb-ass doink outfit? That was...
That's a good question.
It didn't look like Doink.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Absolutely did not look like Doink. Let's put a clown out there. I have no idea. That good question. I wasn't the original Doink. We know that because, unfortunately, I don't believe he's alive anymore.
Correct.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that.
Matt Bourne, about, years ago.
I heard about, you talk about, hey, my boy, Johnny Ace, people power.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, why not? You know what? He still works for him, so he might as well do a cameo every once in a while.
Exactly. Now, just one thing I'd like to hit on AEW is I know Brody Lee's been, kind of doing some things, you know, revolving around McMahon about, you know, the coughing or whatever, talking. Now, is that true that, you know, the announcers are saying, he likes to be called Mr. Brody Lee? Because Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't want to. Now I'm scared the next time we see him because he's going to make us call him Mr.
He was on a different radio show this week and said anything you see correlation is just coincidence, and he's actually trying to be a mafia guy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Now, was there any backlash and heat from the internet? Mark's talking about the AEW talent ringside now that the commentary crew had to say, oh, all of these guys are ringside. I've been tested. They got bracelets on.
You know what's great is you might have heard a sound I played earlier on the show from AEW this past week, and it sounded like there was a crowd there. Now I know I may be the only person on the planet who does this, but I've been watching the Korean Baseball League. Yeah, I am, and you know what they're piping in sound, and they have like cutouts sitting in every seat of the stadium, so you think that there's people there.
I know I've seen a little bit of it, yes.
But
I've been watching the KBO as well. Some good stuff over there. But going back to the professional wrestling side of it, I think that they are starting to chime in and tune in some crowd noise. And I notice it more this week on across all shows, WWE and AEW, than previous weeks. So I think they are starting to hit on some of that.
Well, I will say one thing. At least AEW has people ringside that could possibly be making these sounds. WWE.
Well, they've also got some crew in the actual seats too, like not on the floor, but I mean, you can see like from where the hard cam's shooting, they've got
crew
members there that are making a lot of noise.
Did I see Sugar Dunkington on AEW?
Pineapple Pete.
Sugar Dunkington.
Oh man. Oh, that's funny. Well, one other thing, going back to WWE, as far as the artiste said a little bit ago, yes, he is certainly 100% right as far as the Iconics are concerned. More of them, we will all be better off for them.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, Peyton Royce is an Adonis, is you know, so I don't care what she does as long as she's on TV. I don't mind. Listen, Alexa Bliss is nothing to shun either, you know? So it's like, they're the team. I wonder why they've been off TV so long, because it's been
9 months.
Yeah, I mean, did someone get hurt? Because I never really heard any stories behind it. Why, it wasn't Peyton Royce either, so.
No, I just think they didn't have anything for them, so they just kind of wrote them off TV. Because, I follow both of them on social media, and there was no signs of any injuries or anything. So, I don't know if it was personal issues, I don't know, whatever, but they just weren't there.
And can I speak one more thing about, ROH and New Japan? Whatever happened to Juice Robinson, all of them, is he still over in Japan? I mean, now that they're down, but he'll be still over in Japan doing stuff?
Yeah, last I knew, he was still part of New Japan, so I don't know. I mean, ever since like a lot of the main guys left New Japan to go to AEW, I've kind of like haven't been following as closely, and I know it's me being bad as a wrestling host. I mean, all you gotta do is go to our iTunes page and look at the idiot who freaking left me a note saying I'm terrible. So, but sorry, I kind of mentioned that a few times before, but I just say, you know, it's like I know he was over there, and I'm they're shut down as much as anybody else is. So,
because he was in the ROH faction, and then like he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to. We had a show taken away from us in Buffalo. It was supposed to be the New Japan. What do they call the series again? Danger.
Worlds Collide.
Worlds Collide. They were supposed to be here and back in the beginning of the month, and I was so excited for that. And I'm sure he would have been there.
It was supposed to be at Riverworks, right down in Buffalo, right on the harbor.
Yep. And it's a great place to go to wrestling, too, if you ever want to see a show. So NXT.
Yeah, I haven't been out there yet. I'd like to get out there.
We went to NXT. Ferb and I went to NXT and saw, it was a good show.
I love that place. Riverside, Riverworks, whatever it's called. Yeah. It's a great venue, great little setup for wrestling. I like the backdrop, the bar area. It's a great place to watch a nice show.
Yeah, and it was NXT, so we, you know.
Same for concerts.
And as well. I've never seen a concert there yet, but I've seen roller derby there before, and it's great for that as well.
Have you guys been seeing these little recap shows of Ring of Honor where they kind of have like maybe like two or three of the guys' matches feature them, and then So they're, you know, doing some stuff in their house and shooting the crap and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this past week was 100.
Marty.
Yeah,
Marty one was awesome.
Yeah, Marty Skrull. It was 100% him. Actually, you can probably catch it this weekend still. It was, that's what they got to do until they can get back out and make some more content. Everyone's kind of like, you know, grasping at straws right now. I've been watching Impact, and Impact still has things in the tank from before they shut down. So we're getting to see some good stuff. They're building up a pay-per-view for Impact where they're going to put, I think they're going to take the title off of, what's her name? Tessa. So we'll see that. But I mean, Impact is still putting on a decent show. I know none of you guys have Access TV, so I won't talk about it too much. And Billy DeTore, sorry about it, buddy. He's out there listening. And I know that, because I talk about Access all the time because there's dudes from everywhere that are, I see there all the time. I've seen an Independence. I've seen, you know, WWE. So they still are a viable product.
And this week
they've got a pretty good roster.
Yeah, they do have a great roster. So what was that, Rick?
This week's Dolan Castle on ROH featured.
Oh, that's cool. That's this weekend. So we definitely want
to local hometown boy.
Yeah, we had him in the studio, man. He was awesome. You know,
and a place where I found where you can watch a lot of other wrestling too, other besides YouTube, Fight TV. You can watch the weekly programming for ROH and MLW on there. YouTube, you can get NWA Power and MLW Fusion. So there's a lot of different outsources and streaming devices where you can watch all this other wrestling too. So tune in.
NWA Fusion, or I know MLW's got MLW Fusion.
It's MLW Fusion and NWA Power.
Yeah.
They had their superpower show this past week that they were going to have leading up to the Crockett Cup 2020 that they held back on, playing out and showing when it first happened, but they decided to go with it because there was a lot of stuff that was leading into the Crockett Cup, with that obviously being postponed. So also, Billy Corgan announced this week, 6:05 p.m. Tuesday on YouTube, the debut of Carnyland. So that'll be something new to watch too from NWA.
Carnyland?
Yeah, yeah, I gotta watch that. Damn.
Very cool. Well, hey, Rick, thanks for calling, buddy.
Well, can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I'm the first person, probably of all the people that have been listening, that just found out that Robert Stone was Robbie E from TNA.
Yes, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I was on Pope's Instagram last night, and Robert Stone came in, was doing friendly banter back and forth. And then I went to Stone's Instagram page, and he had a little throwback of all his little characters. I'm like, man, that was Robbie, now that I think about it.
But, well, cool. Yeah. In fact, when I let you go, I'm gonna let Mr. Rob Sanderson tell a story about Robbie E. No, I'm kidding.
Oh boy, which one are we talking about?
No, actually, Rick, thanks for calling. We actually got to go to break because we got one more break in before. We're gonna be here another hour, so do not miss us. We'll be on till noon. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
That Mandy Rose is actually good at. It's not winning. It's not fighting. It's certainly not being a good tag team partner. And it's definitely not being a best friend. No, there's only one thing that Mandy's good at, and that's being blonde and pretty. And when that's all over, which eventually it will be, where does that leave you? I got it. It leaves you in a double-wide trailer, barefoot with a bunch of screaming little kids running around, cooking up some high cholesterol meats on the grill, listening to Otis scream, "Asa, babe, pass me a beer." And listen, honey, if that's the life you want to live, then by all means.
The Inner Circle versus the Elite. And that is if the Elite's even a thing anymore, are they? I mean, we haven't seen half their guys for like 2 months, right? I mean, I heard Hangman Page quit the business, and he's bushwhacking in the forest of North Carolina picking berries. And meanwhile, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson sit at home pouting at how great the Inner Circle and the Champion are. But we're fair and honorable gentlemen, aren't we? Aren't we, Sammy?
Super honorable, baby.
Say that in Spanish.
El honorable.
Damn right. And that's why we're going to give you a chance, Elite, to get your together and face the Inner Circle one more time.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little Chris Jericho with a naughty mouth. Gonna have to wash it out with soap after what he said there. Welcome back. I'm here. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, the artiste Rob Sanderson, DC Dan Cole, and Furby and you. And wow.
Here on El Pain Clinic.
El Pain Clinic. I guess that's how you, that's, you know, I guess Sammy's not the kind of guy to know how to translate, apparently.
well, I mean, he is the Spanish god, but I mean, he's not exactly fully Spanish.
No. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of that, I put the link in the Facebook video, but I put out a tweet this morning that we need a Sammy Guevara and Matt Cardona feud. Of course, Matt Cardona being Zack Ryder. Just talking about the creativity would be off the charts. Think about if you've seen Sammy's vlog, if you obviously, everybody's seen what Zack Ryder could do back with Z True Long Island Story. And if you take a look, both Cardona and Guevara have replied with some thinking faces this morning. So maybe that feud could be in the works.
Look at that. If you saw that, if you're on Facebook Live with us, you saw the artiste just flash a little response from those guys. Pretty cool. Figure that people aren't doing much right now, are they? You know,
I think like the what they could do. I mean, in the ring, it would be great. But the stuff out of the ring, those two could do. There's so many possibilities.
Oh, yeah,
so,
big time.
And I hope it happens.
I actually got contact. I could show you the email I got from them as well, or not from both of them, but from Matt as well. But I couldn't hold it up because I'm not on camera today. You might notice that I'm just a floating voice out there. But we got real quickly go to the phones before we're almost at the end of the hour. We got another hour to go. Got a lot of stuff to talk about still. We didn't even talk about the Intercontinental Championship and that stupid decision to strip it from the guy. But we'll that's for next hour. But we're on the phone right now. We've got Buddy Brian. What's up, Buddy?
Hi, guys. Hi, Rob. Welcome back to Rochester, Buddy.
Thank you, Buddy.
My question is, do you think we'll ever find out who is the 10 guys that are with Brody Lee? Do you think they will ever be revealed on who they are?
Yeah, the Dark Order. Who are they? You know, I mean, there's a bunch. There's a handful of them we don't know. We know that there's Uno and
Uno and Stu who are in Canada and can't get to AEW anytime soon. 10, I think they acknowledge that 10 is Preston Vance. So if you see him, if you saw him on AEW Dark recently, there's no real secret as to who he is. He's the one that's wrestling Moxley on Wednesday.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And then they had the other two guys that I can't remember their names, but early on that joined the Dark Order. They were
John Silver,
yep.
And I don't know why am I blanking on his partner's name, but yeah, those two.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Alex Reynolds.
And who was the voice before Brody Lee showed up? Who was the spokesperson? Was that Uno? I don't know. I'm trying to remember who the one that would come out and talk and say he's coming. You know, the one who was teasing everything
on the videos.
Yeah,
I don't know who that guy was, but
yeah. Well, you know, in due time. But I'm excited about where we're going with that. And we'll definitely talk about that next hour a little bit too, because. But
maybe we should even do a Dark Order themed giveaway. We've got a couple items from something. Maybe we can do next hour. I'll talk to you about it.
Okay, we did definitely, because yeah, it's right now. This is hands off. So if someone won something, we'd have to get it to them. So
we can mail it.
Oh, okay. I think this sounds definitely a good teaser for coming back next hour. Do want to mention one thing before we get out of here? UFC did have a show last weekend. It was a pretty good show, but still no crowd. So one of the first questions everybody was asked every time was how did you deal without having the crowd? And I was getting tired of it after a while. This is on the prelims, you know. They had another show on Wednesday night too. So there, and that was a fight night for the ESPN Plus. That was actually shown replay like at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. And I DVR'd it and went back and watched it. That was the Anthony Smith fight where he just got beat up so bad that he quit because he was worried his teeth were getting knocked out.
And that rivaled NXT and AEW this week. And from what I saw with the results from AEW and NXT, I think those are some of the lowest ratings since both of them went live on TV. So whether that had any effect to that matter as well.
Well, we've got less than a minute, so we're going to get out of here. This is the guy who is getting screwed right now because he took it under his own belt to say, I'm not coming in with this thing going on. And because of that, he got stripped, but we'll talk about that in the next hour. I want to thank you guys. We'll be back at 11, a little bit after 11. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
To relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. If you were looking for Kick This, we're having some technical difficulties hooking up, so we'll be doing a second hour of the Pain Clinic. I am the Cashman. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. And if you're looking at Facebook Live, he just waved at you. We have Furby. We also have Danger Boy. wearing his Mets hat. And the artiste, Rob Sanderson. This is the crew you get for the next hour, four of us. Morning. Good morning. Nice to see you guys, Rob. Rob, how are you enjoying the New York weather so far? You've been up here, what, a week now, a week and a half?
Yeah, something like that. You know what? It's been refreshing because... I lived in Texas for 21 months. And for those who don't know, Corpus Christi is like as south as you can get. You're closer to Mexico than anything else. And... there were 2 days in my almost 2 years there where I decided I think I might just wear pants instead of shorts today. Could have gotten away with shorts, but decided to wear pants. It was hot. So this has been refreshing. I still miss the beach from time to time. But speaking of Corpus Christi, I alluded to it in the last hour. Maybe we can do some kind of a giveaway for some kind of autographed items I brought back with me with certain Brody Lee.
Oh, nice.
I thought I had more Brody Lee pucks, but there are some Luke Harper signed pucks here that I think we can figure out to some kind of giveaway. We can toss it in the mail since we're not going to hand it off in person.
So do we challenge somebody to answer a question, you know, to call in, or do we just pick a number? You know, we can think about
Let's
that.
Think about that.
Think about that. So if you guys wanted to get a Brody Lee signed puck, as well as possibly a Luke Harper one or whatever it may be. We'll get your thinking cap on and wait a little bit, and we will get this to you. But let's talk. We're back into talking about also, Mr. Sanderson, I wanted to mention that you had the best lunchroom view of anybody on the planet when you were down there because you had the Gulf right next to the place, and it just looked beautiful. And every once in a while you saw a giant boat go by, a giant aircraft carrier or something.
It was, the arena there is right on the water. Best way to mention that is if anybody remembers when Chavo Guerrero and CM Punk had the Gulf of Mexico match WWE CW. That is that arena. That is right outside my old desk. So there were some nice views down there. But it's nice to be back up here. And like I said, garlic bread. There's none of that down there. So.
Hey, by the way,
you got some decent pizza finally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Let me ask you. You went to Mexico. How hard was it to get to Mexico? Did you have to have a passport, and did they say okay, go in?
I would just drive down to the border towns and park on the American side, and then walk over the bridges in like Nuevo Progreso and Nuevo Laredo, some of those towns, which are different experiences. Like I like to travel, but there were. There were times when I went over to Nuevo Laredo, I was about a block in, and then immediately the military parade came through because the cartel pretty much runs things there. And so it's just six trucks driving down the street with probably six officers in each with their huge machine guns. And, like, you don't make eye contact with them. You don't cross the street in front of them. It's a different world. But I enjoyed making those trips, though it was difficult for me to get other people to go with me because everybody thought I was crazy for exploring Mexican border towns in this day and age. But,
there's no wall there yet to stop you, so which is a good thing.
It's not. I hear you. In terms of the passport question, they actually going, like, walking over, I wanted a stamp my first time. And, like, I thought I was almost going to get shot for even asking. They won't look at your passport, anything like that. You do need it to get back into the States.
Sure.
But walking over, you just walk right in.
Wow. Very cool. Yep. I've never been to Mexico, so I don't know. But it's like, I figure you get really cheap tequila there, maybe. I don't know. But
oh, yeah, you would go over there, you get, like, three tacos, chips and fresh salsa, margarita and more. And it would come out to be, like, $5 American. It's and we're talking, like, legitimate tacos, obviously. So yeah,
very cool.
I do miss those trips.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're glad you're back. And, you know, for as long as you are, that, you know, we will tap that knowledge. So let's talk a little bit about, I teased as we were ending up the last hour, I teased about the intercontinental tournament going on right now, which kind of was a surprise on Monday when they mentioned it.
Seems like it was a surprise to Sami Zayn too.
I don't follow him on social media, so I don't know about Danger. What do you think?
I have no issues with it at all. I think it should be an interim title like the Jordan Devlin one. But if I understand it's his choice, you know, I don't take it as a punishment. They have to have that belt on TV, and they don't know when he's going to be on again. So to have it just sitting there and be like, oh yeah, we have this Intercontinental Championship, they're doing it more so it doesn't bring light to why he's sitting out, which is, you know, not good. But at the same time, I understand why they have to have that belt on TV. I have no problems with it. And it looks like, I mean, I hate the first round matchups are building, like, all these minor feuds into the first round matchups. But I'm hoping the finals ends up being Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, which would be fantastic. They put AJ in because he has never held that belt before. It's the one he hasn't held and he wants to. So I figure when they mention that, he's going to the finals. And then I'm hoping it's Daniel Bryan because no one else really makes sense. That'd be a great match. I want to see that match. So I have no issues at all.
So let me ask you a question. I don't know. Is Sami Zayn hurt? I mean, is there a reason?
No.
Okay, he's just choosing.
They said Sami Zayn is unable to perform. That's what they said on TV. Sami Zayn's sitting out because he doesn't want to take the risk of COVID.
Yes.
He took them up on their deal.
But how long ago was that he just wrestled at WrestleMania? Like, it hasn't been that long. And I agree, the best point in that is how you mentioned that it's not an interim thing. Like, how do you just strip him of the title, especially when you've gone through long periods of time where Brock Lesnar has disappeared? You went through the period of time where Vince wanted to get rid of the Intercontinental title. I think we talked about how WWE can do an offseason or whatever. I just think this is really soon. I don't like it. I don't think it's fair to Sammy.
I do think it's soon. I think it's soon, and I think that they could have let it play out longer. But the thing with Brock is they knew when he was coming back. They knew when these other people were going to come back. They had storylines for him. They honestly don't know when Sami Zayn is going to be back, and if he's smart and he does it the way it should be, it won't be till next year when there's a vaccine.
And I agree with Danger on this one. For me, I don't have an issue with them taking the title away from him. I wish they did it more on an interim basis, like, again, what they did with Jordan Devlin and the Cruiserweight title. But for me, it's really going to be how they work this in when Sami Zayn is ready to come back. He has to have that first opportunity, I believe. And especially when Vince McMahon has come out and said that, you know, every person has the right to, you know, not work if they don't feel safe and stuff like that, and he's exercising that option and essentially getting penalized for it,
which they're not going to do,
right? And I feel like it's kind of unfair to that extent. But I guess to go into the first round matchups, and I know I said it in our text conversation last night, and it just feels like a lot of it is expected, you know. Why Bryan versus Gulak? Okay, yeah, it's a great match, but they're with each other. Then you got Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, which they've built up for a little bit, which is fine. in a first round matchup.
And, that will probably continue on beyond that, I'm guessing.
I would hope so. I know Danger said he thinks, you know, he would hope Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles. I think definitely that'll produce the best match. I think they're actually kind of working towards a Sheamus AJ Styles final, since neither have held that title before.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense, and it's like, what's interesting is just that I don't know. See, the thing is, they say, well, you know, you're not going to get hurt, but if you don't come to work, we're taking your belt from you. So it's like they went all their way to have him defend it at WrestleMania, you know, from Daniel Bryan, to just take it off of him. You know, it's like they could have put it, you know, could have given it to Daniel Bryan and said, here's a present, kind of like Asuka, you know, but I don't have, you know.
To me, it makes me think that, Vince can say, oh, you don't have to come to work if you don't want to, but see what happens. Where, like, I believe Tony Khan, who's like, you guys really don't have to come unless you want to, like, we'll figure it out. Yeah. And I think that, like, there's the separation there of, like, how they treat their people. There is that. You can tell that WWE wrestlers have that mindset of like, yeah, oh my God, I'm going to lose my spot, whatever. And this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, it goes back to Paul Orndorff.
Did they even tell Sammy that they were going to, like, that this was a possibility, or did they just do it? Like, the way he reacted on social media made me think that it just happened. He was like, oh, okay, that's how you're going to treat me. Where I feel like they could have went about it in a better way, or waited a little longer or something. I don't like it. Also, I really don't like that Intercontinental title. I miss the old style.
true.
So, we agree on that. And I wouldn't entirely put it past WWE to have done a petty move where Sami Zayn found out probably the same time we found out that this was going to take place. And yes, I know it's storyline, but to counter Danger Boy, that was one of the things that bothered me the most. Is you had Brock Lesnar. How many years did he carry the flagship title for the company? And he was wrestled, what, three times a year?
Yeah.
Forgot about him completely, right, for months at a time.
They had to build paper.
And that's your flagship title. I understand, like, the U.S. title and the Intercontinental titles have always been known as kind of your workhorse titles. But there had to be a better way to do this.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea you mentioned, maybe, like, Styles could get it. I do think he should hold that belt at some point. I don't want to go on a huge tangent on this, but it is worth thinking about. You know, the correlation there with Vince and his family and the current administration. And all I'm saying is that when you look on social media, if you do follow Sami Zayn, he is probably the most outspoken WWE wrestler against the current administration, which is tied with, like, I feel like if there was anybody that Vince might have a vendetta against from seeing a tweet or something like that, it would be Sami Zayn. Just going to leave it at that.
So he's against a guy who might be in the WWE Hall of Fame, you're saying. I love to get the eye roll. I love to get the eye roll. On that note, we're going to take a break. Some things I want, you know, we still haven't covered. We haven't talked too much about AEW, but do you hear Mike Tyson's on his way? And we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Cody Rhodes, the time is about up. No longer can you hide behind your brother, behind any obstacle that you can find. No more excuses. It's time to pay the piper. So, what you got to think about is what this man is going to do to you. What the hell is that?
This is the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Be sure to listen.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the cast man with the artiste, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and Furby, and you. Thank you so much for listening, and we want to thank Kick This having some technical problems. They'll be back next week. They'll be back next week. I promise you that. And we'll be back next week, but we'll only be 1 hour then. But let's get back into the kind of what we were teasing about a little bit going to the break there. Mike Tyson has been on social media a lot recently, showing him working out, showing he could still box. Apparently, there's some money offers for him to box Evander Holyfield. I don't know if you guys had heard any of that. I mean, something that happened maybe 20.
And where are they talking about that happening?
Oh, no. Is that going to be in an AEW ring? No, I don't know.
No, in Corpus Christi. No. Vince's adopted hometown of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Right?
Oh, is that where they're talking about? Okay, I was wondering. I didn't see exactly.
That's one of the rumors.
Well, I mean,
they want to throw the big money at that.
Tyson is 53. So I mean, and I don't.
Holyfield's 57.
Still might be more entertaining than a Goldberg match, though. So
yeah, well, I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Tyson looked good. Tyson looked good. So I'm not going to take anything away from him, but. But I will say that, sorry, I had a little cough there. I would say that, you know, what is he going to do? You know, what do you think he'll do with AEW? I mean,
he's handed out the TNT title, so we know that. So he'll probably have some kind of fiasco with either Jake or probably not Jake, but more Lance Archer and throw a punch in there or something. You can't have him be there and not be physical. I mean, he's going to get a ton of money, so.
Didn't we hear something about Sting? Weren't we thinking about Sting last week as being the guy to hand that title out to? Now that we hear...
Yeah, I saw a rumor, like, when all this kind of started to go down, the very first thing, like, the first day when they came out and said, you know, Sting's deal with WWE was done and his figurine got removed, and the first thing that came up was Sting was going to be handing out this title at TNT, or the TNT title at Double or Nothing, and then you know, the very next day or 2 days after, all of a sudden now Mike Tyson's the guy. So it's kind of interesting how it kind of flip-flopped on the rumors real quick to actually being Mike Tyson.
Maybe it'll be both.
But they've been teasing Sting more and more. They've been putting little, like, Easter egg type stuff out there. So I'm curious if something happens there. I don't know if I don't really want to see him wrestle, but I don't know. There could be some involvement. I mean, with Tyson and you mentioned Jake, obviously Arn Anderson will be out there for that match as well. So, I mean, who knows what can happen with that. I will say you played part of that clip. The Jake's promo. Jake is great on the mic, but I was a little uncomfortable this week.
Well, he was taking some shots at the women ring announcer, and he's saying she disrespected him or something like that. I know he's playing
and a character. Brandy,
I know he's playing a character, but I know that that the announcers were kind of really kind of getting fidgety when he was saying that stuff. He's like, I don't know.
Don't worry though. Cody was there to bust it up with a comedy spot of driving his truck 3.5 feet and then getting out.
You're running into the barrier there. I will say this. Would Mike Tyson versus Sting put AEW in a little bit more in the spotlight if something like that happened? Because Mike Tyson has been open to wrestling. I mean, it's just that he
You don't do it with Sting, though. Sting's 61 years old at this point, coming off neck injury. You do it with someone younger who can actually take a bump.
So we'll see. Maybe something will be built up at Double or Nothing. So right now we got a call from Fats. What's up, Fats?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to say that I had a little bit of inside information about the Mike Tyson deal.
Oh.
I'm actually friends with Dave Feldman on Facebook here. And if you guys knew who Dave Feldman is, he's the owner of the BKFC. He offered Mike Tyson a 4-fight, $20 million deal. And Tyson has not signed it or anything like that, but it's on the table. The possible fighters that he would face would be like Rumble Johnson, Joey Beltran, Shannon Briggs, and Shannon Rich.
Huh. So I don't see Holyfield's name in that list at all. So maybe.
No. Holyfield was going to be a whole separate deal, and it was only for charity.
Oh, okay. And I saw, and Holyfield did make some comments. So it's like, he goes, I see Mike Tyson working out. And yes, Mike Tyson looked pretty good, you know, punching the bag. So, you know, how about George Foreman? Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I think George Foreman's a little bit old and out of shape now, but Mike is looking solid, and he only weighs about 185 pounds right now. So he's looking tight and lean.
I did get a chance to talk with him a couple of years ago, and I mean, all I really wanted to talk to him was about Mike Tyson's mysteries on Adult Swim, but he's you know, the funny thing is, if you ever watch that show, he never does the voice recording with any of the other people, so it's like. He's never seen them. He's never met them. So it's pretty wild. So I go back and watch it and say, yep, these guys were in separate places all over the world when they were recording the voice parts. But, you know, because I like Norm. I like Norm McDonald, and he plays Pigeon. So it's like, he goes,
oh, yeah, he's awesome.
He goes, I never.
Yeah, Norm is the best.
He's like, I've never met any of them. It's like, oh, interesting. So, Mike, I would love to see Mike out there. But you know what, Mike, you know. People have a lot of, you know, there's opinions go either way with him. You know, he's a rapist, convicted rapist, was in jail, you know, did his time, paid his dues. But there's, you know, a lot of people will never forgive him for that, as well as, you know, some of the, you know, biting, you know, and trying to eat Evander Holyfield's ear in the middle of.
I personally think his whole life turned when Cuss died.
Yeah, but he was out of control, though, you know. But I don't care. I mean, he would definitely draw eyes, and I think if he comes to AEW, he is coming to AEW. Tony Khan.
Yeah, wherever he goes, he's gonna draw numbers. That's for sure.
Definitely. Well, Fats, man, thank you so much for calling, man. We haven't talked to you forever. I appreciate it.
Man, I listen every week.
I appreciate it.
Just don't always have something to talk about.
No, that's cool. I appreciate your little tidbit. Thank you, and man, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
See you guys later.
All right. Thank him for calling. But yeah, there's a lot of people who still really hold a big grudge against Mike Tyson. So, and we'll see where they go with it. I mean, AEW, this is going to be a pretty cool pay-per-view. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of confused, though. Chris Jericho talked about, you know, the elite taking on his group, and in a stadium match. I don't know. In 80. What do you call it again? I'm trying to remember. It was a
stadium stampede match, something like that.
Stadium stampede match, yeah.
Yep.
And it's like, well, first of all, we know there's not going to be people there. So he said something about 80,000 people. But it's like, I'm just kind of trying to figure out where they're going. And he went and destroyed one of our favorite Matt Hardy props last week with a bat.
Vanguard 1, rest in peace.
Yeah, Vanguard 1 got destroyed. And,
I think there's a lot of possibilities. Like the stadium stampede, they kind of mentioned that was going to be more so over in the Jaguar Stadium. So I think that opens up the idea for some more comedic segments, whether somebody's running with a football or the mascot pops out or whatever. Like, I hope they kind of have some fun with it. Kind of more of the brawling backstage, but a little bit of a different environment as they go like all the way over to the football field.
Did you see the video?
That's at least how I interpreted it.
Did you see the video they did a couple weeks ago with everyone getting poked in the head and all the cameos that showed up during that? Lou Ferrigno.
Manitoba Melee.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the Stadium Stampede.
Yes. Yeah, Kevin Smith was part of the group, which was pretty cool.
And Silent Bob, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to probably be some sort of produced segment then, I'm guessing, if they're going to be over in Jaguar Stadium. And, you know, actually having it an empty stadium is kind of like, even during football season, it's like that a lot. So there, zing. Sorry.
As long as they stay off the top of, you know, trailers.
Yeah, I know. I'm tired of seeing people on top of trailers.
Or maybe don't spend like 10 minutes in a gym.
I just, I saw JR tweet a picture of him hanging out with Doug Marrone. And that's a Bills trader coach. I don't want him to have any involvement.
No. So.
Unless he takes a bump and gets hit. I'm okay with him taking a bump.
Yeah, I'm all in on that. Yeah.
Hey, he just said, I'm not coming back for my third year. You can't pay me enough. And then we got, what's his name? Ryan. So
it's like, Bills fans, so bitter. Right. You're better off. Let it go.
Yeah, we are better off. You know, I mean, you know, but you're correct. Yeah, we got Ryan. We're doing better now. If the season starts, the Bills are going to be one of the elite teams. So I'm super excited about that. So some news. What'd you guys
think?
Yeah. What'd you guys think about the In Your House thing that the NXT is going to do? I mean, wasn't Rochester one of the last In Your House events? The one that was here 1997 was it?
Seven.
I was there. I remember. I would like to go back and watch it because I want to see how close I was to being on TV because we were in the front row, up one level. So it was like we were the background of the ring the whole time. I don't know if I've ever really watched that besides being at it. But what do you think about them? You know, kind of bringing back. You know, obviously they're going to be going through the warehouse to pull out the house prop. You know,
they better. I don't think they're going to give away a house this time. But if that set doesn't come back in some capacity, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. I don't know. I loved that cheesiness back in the day. So I think it's cool they're bringing that back. But hopefully they actually do something with it. Todd Pettengill can come out and host. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. Doc Hendricks makes a reappearance.
You know, so the funny thing about it is that the one that was here in town, we got the debut of Rockabilly. You know, I mean, a guy who now works for AEW and Sun and wrestles for them as well. But we got the Rockabilly and we have the infamous flash paper that did not light with Mick Foley and The Undertaker. And we got, you know, I mean, it was part of history. If you go back and watch it, I'm sure it's been edited on the video to make the flash paper look like it burned. But it took about six tries, I think, before it finally went off. I'm old, so I was fairly young when that happened. You guys were probably babies back then. You weren't alive.
I was five years old.
So. Well, were you five? Okay. DC, how old were you? Were you there?
In 97? No, I was not there. I was upset. I was on a family vacation in Florida.
Oh. I know Danger was there because we sat next to you. Danger.
Yeah, I was there. I was up there. I had a Terry Funk. I had a bed sheet sprayed out with Terry Funk is the real world champion because it was right after Barely Legal. I was 15 at the time.
Oh my.
I was not there because I was dumb and I completely stopped watching wrestling for two and a half years or so. So the only time Rochester got a pay-per-view, I was not watching wrestling at that time.
Well, don't worry, because it was done by 10 o'clock. It was those 2 hour pay-per-views. So there was
only. Well, I love it. I mean, I've been going back and watching the In Your Houses on the network. I mean, I love that those, a lot of those kind of disappeared for a while before the network because they didn't, you know, put out the old Coliseum videos and stuff on DVD. And there's a lot of really, really good matches from those early In Your Houses. Jeff Jarrett, Shawn Michaels from the second one. The whole Canadian Stampede pay-per-view. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff. If you haven't watched those In Your Houses, I would totally recommend going back. Just rewatched the first one from Syracuse the other night. So
I was going to say, good stuff. I remember that we had Paul Bearer on, and he talked about how he had gotten flashed in the face and that he had actually run around. They'd taken him out in an ambulance, and then they brought him back. They went around the block, came back, and dropped him back off at the front doors of the Blue Cross Arena. So he had to walk back in while the show was still going on. There was some funny stuff. I think also Bret Hart. Who did Bret Hart wrestle on that? I'm trying to remember.
Was it Austin?
Steve Austin.
Yeah,
Austin. It was the number one contender match.
That's right. And it's like, and then there was a turn I think going on during that too as well. But that was, yeah, those were fun days. If you guys want to see the one pay-per-view from Rochester, go to WWE's network and watch it. It's In Your House, Taker's Revenge, right?
Revenge of the Taker.
We're going to go to break on that, come back. We've got some more stuff to talk about. Of course, I don't know if anybody has seen that, watched any of the Last Ride documentary, but we definitely want to bring that up a little bit and see what you guys think. We'll be back right after this. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. 222-1280, star 12 is the number if you want to call, and you can text us as that number as well. If they're funny or even interesting, I'll read them. We'll be back right after this.
You know what? I got to be honest with you, Vanguard. Even if you have put more thought into it, it's too late. We rescind our invitation because we've got the sixth member of the Elite. And he's right here. Say hello to our brother, Floyd.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the artiste, Rob Sanderson, DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Furby, and you. And Floyd is the bat. So I guess Floyd will be part of the Jericho's group now, which is interesting. There's some news. I just want to tease a little bit, but we did... kind of talk about that. We're going to mention The Last Ride. If you guys watch it, give us a call. Someone did text us and say, what happened to AOP, you know, part of Seth Rollins' group? And I believe one of the AOP got hurt, and then they decided to take them both away, which is the truth, I believe. Right, guys?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, one of the guys from me, I'm not sure if it was Razor.
I think it was either Razor or Akam. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever, but I think
it was a torn bicep or tricep, one of the two. It's something that's going to take him out for a while.
Well, and they still used him for a couple of weeks, but then they decided because he was hurt and he couldn't wrestle and they were no threat to anybody that they decided to get rid of him. So yeah, and I think they're off making a remake of a Ninja Turtles movie, right? With those names, now weren't they the monsters in the original Ninja Turtles movie? The
Foot Clan.
What was that?
It was Toka and Razor.
Yeah, okay, close enough. So, and then there was Super Shredder, which was Kevin Nash, right?
Yes.
Okay, so one other thing I wanted to bring up. So I watched Dark Side of the Ring this past week, and it was all about the Road Warriors. I don't know. Did any of you guys get to see that?
I have watched every one of them.
Never miss it.
Oh, it's awesome. Yep. So the reason I bring it up is because Paul Ellering, who looks better than any of those guys, their old manager, daughter just was cut. I didn't realize she was one of the cuts from NXT when they cut back in April. And Rachel Ellering, the reason she's cut because she was complaining too much about the medical team on some procedure. She had blown her knee out a year ago. And maybe she wasn't happy with the care she was getting or whatever. But because she was vocal about it, that might have added her to the list of people being cut. I'm not sure, but I will say that it does. Her name did pop up when I was thinking about when I was watching Dark Side of the Ring because we hadn't seen her in forever. But that was part of the news from this past week that's what she came out and said. She claimed it was because of her complaints due to she felt that she wasn't being managed correctly with her medical condition. So. Interesting.
Well, I think she's one of the ones that, I mean, she doesn't seem, her and Deonna Purrazzo and some of them, like, don't seem very upset about getting released. And obviously some of the people have been asking for their releases, like the Revival and stuff, too. So I think that's just what happens when WWE goes out and they try to sign everybody, but then there's only so many spots that actually get any attention. So she doesn't seem too upset about it. I'm sure when indies open back up, her and her man Chris Hero will get a lot of bookings together around the country and the world and stuff, and so she's a good talent. I wish they would have used her a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, she did do the tournament, I think, right? That's when she first came in, was when they were doing the Mae Young tournament.
Yeah,
I think she was in both of them, and kind of like what Rob said, you know, it's one of those things where they sign so many people, they only have so much time for them. And you kind of get forgotten about sometimes. And yeah, I saw her name pop up actually last night when I was working out, or maybe it was two nights ago, with the whole her name being included in the release. So, you know, best wishes to her. Hopefully everything's going well. And when things do open up, I'm sure she'll get some spots somewhere.
You know, the funny thing is when they did all the cuts and then you were realizing that they didn't cut a bunch of people who you haven't seen them forever, but they have reasons for it. Like, for instance, the Iconics. They obviously had they knew they were coming on. They hadn't been on TV in like 7 months, and then they pop them back out this week because they have a plan for them. So they still are working on long-term plans. But it's like when you see like all those names that were cut you know, realizing that, you know, and, you know, some were financial, some were because they weren't doing nothing. But that's, yeah, it was about a year or 2 years ago when they started just signing everybody, you know, and even guys who wanted to leave who were working for them, they would sign to 5-year deals. That's kind of like why Anderson and Gallows are gone now, you know, because, I mean, they were sitting on a 5-year contract. I'm sure.
Yeah, and from what I remember, I think they were one of the ones who were looking to leave, too, in the first place, and then they got the money thrown at them, and they're like, all right, we'll stay.
Yeah, I mean, and that's...
And then how about the rumors also this week that they signed Undertaker to a 15-year contract?
I hope he doesn't wrestle 15 more years, but, I mean, I can understand... I mean,
it had to be for serious money, though, because remember, as his right about the time this was happening, he was it WrestleCon he was going to be at or StarCraft?
Start.
And he was charging $25,000 an hour.
Yep.
I can't imagine the money they threw at him until he'll be 70 to stay with WWE.
Well, Well, I mean, obviously, that's what, and you know, we mentioned the last ride. Maybe it's doing well, and that's enough that, you know, it's kind of proof in the pudding that they should sign him to a long-term deal. Anybody get a chance to watch any of The Last Ride yet? It's been, we've had, like, what, four parts so far, I think?
No, I only
saw the first one so far.
Just the one, and I actually watched it Sunday afternoon before Money in the Bank. They had it on the network the whole day, and it was very interesting. There's a lot of things that, you know, had come up in rumors that, you know, you may have heard trickling through the grapevine on the internet. But I thought what was really interesting in the whole fact that he really does not remember anything from WrestleMania 30 when he lost to Brock Lesnar. And he actually did not even remember his name until 4 o'clock the next morning.
It does not surprise me, because remember, he looked concussed the half of that match. You know?
And I've watched that match back and forth many times trying to find out where it actually happens, and it's tough to tell.
I think it was a regular move. I think it was like a slam that Brock might have come down on his head or something. I'm trying to remember, because I remember he had that glassy-eyed look when he sat up, you know.
And yeah, I remember he kind of came up in the corner of the turnbuckle at one spot, and you could really see his face just look lost. And that's the first time really that I recognized it.
I was kind of confusing the last ride with the Michael Jordan thing. So that's what I was thinking, that there's that many parts out now. But it's kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, he's coming out and being, throwing kayfabe to the wind, which he did. I mean, listen, he was on this show, I don't know, 2001, 2000? And he didn't talk any character. He talked about, because it was right when he switched over to the Biker Taker, and that's all we talked about was his shift and how people were reacting to it and stuff. So it was, you know, he's always been a guy that you could always get a straight answer from. Wasn't playing games like the, you know, like the Iron Sheik or anything, you know, who doesn't know how to turn it off, kayfabe. So, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. I was going to wait till they all come down, but now I'm scared they're only going to put them up for a short time and just do them on the live feed, and then you have to wait till they're all down and to be able to see all five of them. But it's going to be interesting, because I saw a lot of interviews with his wife in there as well. So
I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to watching more of it. I don't know if it's like a lot of those interviews are clearly really old that they're using, that they're just, you know, taking sound bites from. I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. A quick shout out though to that Edge documentary they did, because I thought that was like the best thing they've ever put on the network.
Oh yeah, when that was Edge coming back, yeah, and the whole training and everything, yeah, that was pretty good. I've been kind of enjoying some of the stuff that they're doing, the Ruthless Aggression, even though it's not accurate at all, and it's written through the WWE lens, but I remember a lot of that stuff when it was going on, and you know, just how things they show things getting over that didn't get over, you know, and things like that. But they're running, actually I saw it this week, tonight they're running two parts of that on FS1. FS1's getting a lot of WWE product from the network, so it makes me begin to believe some of those for sale things that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, you know, when you see them, you know, licensing things out to run on other channels that are on the network, you know. And
I do want to praise the WWE and what they do with their network. I know whether it's revised or revisionary or whatever you want to say, I mean, they definitely do produce quite a bit of content throughout the week. I mean, they're doing a whole WWE best of now ever since this virus. They've been posting out, 3 to 4 hour long best of episodes for wrestlers, events, different things like that. I mean, on top of the Ruthless Aggression, I went back and watched the Monday Night War segment that they did when they first released the network. So I got caught up on a lot of that stuff. Plus all the WWE 24s, they've got their live stream hour-long bump on Wednesday mornings that they do with Caleb Braxton as the host. And they got a whole slew of stuff. So it's a lot of neat content on there that they're continuously producing every day, really.
I'm just upset. I'm still waiting for season 2 of Legends House.
Yeah. It's going to be
I was going to say, I'm upset that they haven't put any WWF superstars on since, somewhere early 93. Maybe it cuts off right now. I need all my 1994, 1995 superstars episodes, and then I'll and then I'll praise them more.
You want those ones where they do 17 matches in Rochester and turn it into like five or six shows, which, you know, that's a time period in my life in which I didn't go to all the live shows and stuff, but I knew they were in town because they were doing like 8-hour recordings. You know, people would tell me same guy would wrestle 6 times on the show, you know, so
yep.
Yeah. So
I wonder what kind of money I still clearly remember that.
Yeah.
What kind of money did the War Memorial concession stands make on those 8-hour tapings back in the day?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. People, I don't know if I could sit for 8 hours of that, you know? And they were doing all the like the little bits like Piper's Pit and all the the barber shop and whatever, you know, just the little side little things they had and stuff. So that, you know. So next week we got coming up the AEW pay-per-view. It'll be on the same day as we are next Saturday. And to build up this week, MJF came back this week from whatever the hangnail he had from a couple weeks ago and wrestled.
It's a serious injury, Cash.
And he destroyed, who was it that he destroyed? Was it Tarzan or... who is it that...
Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy, that's right. I keep calling him Tarzan. He's Jungle Boy Jack.
That's who he's wrestling.
Oh, yeah. So,
he destroyed Marco... Was it Marco?
Marco, I think he's taking on Marco Stunt this week because they put out a list of who.
So they
put out a teaser list of who's people wrestling each other this week coming up, and we got MJF in another match against Marco Stunt. And they're back to live, so those shows are going. They're not back in the can. They did a bunch of stuff in the can in the last few weeks. They've been live, which is great. But we got MJF taking on Marco Stunt. Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson are going to meet face to face for an interview. I don't know really how many times Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson crossed in during their peaks of their careers, but they were on different shows. Jake Roberts was in WWE, and I think Arn Anderson peaked his career when he was down in NWA and WCW. So it'll be interesting to see what they talk about. Ray Fenix is taking on Orange Cassidy. I love Orange.
After Fenix just destroyed Cassidy's face with that kick.
I keep calling him Fenix. It's Fenix. Yeah, I know. He did, you know, but Cassidy... Cassidy's a special guy. I like watching him wrestle. You know, he's a lot of fun. And you know, it's funny, Rob, that he was in town here, a couple weeks before everything shut down, when they had right before the AEW pay-per-view, when he was here with ESW. And he did his, you know, I saw the video from it. He did everything you would want from an Orange Cassidy. He's a special guy. You've been following him for a while, right, Rob? I know that you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, mid-2000s maybe. I mean, back when he was in the New Jersey All-Stars, I mean, way before the current gimmick. And actually last year. Yeah.
I was going to say, he was in CZW. I remember he did the King of Trios. He was another character then.
Chikara.
That's what it was. Yeah,
I don't know. He played somebody else in Chikara. I think it's pretty well public knowledge on that. But last year, he wrestled Gentleman Jervis at Wrestle Circus, and quite honestly, I hadn't seen much of Orange Cassidy's current incarnation of his gimmick. And Colin Delaney and I called that match, and so my reactions are pretty real on commentary on that. But if you haven't seen it, it's up to like 10 million combined views online or whatever. It's maybe the most fun match I ever got to call. But I think Cassidy, like, ever since he had that match with Pac at Revolution, a lot of people, like, you could watch that match, you can hear JR come around to him, you can hear those reactions. Like, it's nice that now he's able to actually do some in-ring stuff after they used him just as kind of a manager for 6 months or whatever. So him and Ray Fenix could be a really, really good match, depending on how much time they get and what they let them do, which AEW usually lets them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's to me, that's a dark horse for probably match of the night. When you look at the card, two really great workers, Cassidy. Phoenix is one of my favorites. It'll be a spectacular match, honestly. I do agree.
And that's just this week. That's not even on the pay-per-view. That's just this week building up to it. So
Yeah, that is right. I stand corrected on that. Yeah, anyways, on Wednesday night television, it's still going to be a great match.
They put some good quality stuff on Wednesday nights, and we got Moxley taking on 10 in a non-title match, and Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara also in a match. So it's going to be an exciting show to build up the pay-per-view that's going on next weekend. And on that note, we got to take a break because I realize it's getting late. I don't want us to run out of time. So we got one more segment coming up. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to Pain Clinic, Fox Sports 1280. Kick This will be back next week. They had some technical problems, so we got to talk a little bit more pro wrestling, and we were promoting AEW. Man, I got to get someone on from AEW next week with us. Wouldn't it be fun to talk to somebody who's going to be wrestling that night? I'm looking at you, Mr. Ortiz. You know those guys. No, I'm kidding. I was just going to say, but the pay-per-view looks really pretty cool. I'm really excited. I don't want to make any predictions, but a friend of ours is in the main event, a guy we know, and Moxley, what do you think about the reign of Moxley so far? Is this something? It's tough to say that anybody's had a good reign since this COVID-19 thing happened, because you're not getting the crowds, you're not going to be able to go out and test them, how they react, people react to them and stuff, and you're not going to get a good feel for their run. So why would you change anything? That's the whole thing. How can you do that with how can you do that with that match without changing anything but not hurting neither the participants? Because you definitely want the Dark Order and Brody Lee to be a dominant kind of group, is that a problem right now in the world of wrestling, is how do you get somebody, without hurting someone else?
To me, it would just go ahead.
I think it's definitely something where you've got to find a way to work with it. And it's unfortunate for Moxley. I think his title reign would mean so much more if he had been in front of crowds. He's the type of person that needs that interaction. He's the guy that comes to the crowd every night to make his entrance. So you can't really hold it against him. But I think, it is, in a way, it's maybe a little strange that they jumped right into Brody being in that match, because, quite honestly, I don't think anybody thinks he's going to win that match at this point, but they've built him up strong enough over these past couple months that it's a chance to put him into that main event pool of people, and he can hopefully stay there, moving forward.
Yeah. So I think from that same perspective, what you were talking about with, Moxley needing a crowd, that type of thing, and, it does, unfortunately, this whole, status that's written with the COVID, it kind of does Moxley an injustice, because I think he is a guy who could have gone on and had a really nice reign. But I think this is a good time where you could continue to build on Brody Lee in the Dark Order and actually go ahead and do that shocking title change, have him take the title actually from Moxley, let him run with it while there is no crowd, let him continue to be dominant and run roughshod over the AEW roster, and then maybe build up to when crowds do come back, Moxley coming back and having him go for that title chase against Brody Lee. I know we kind of just came off of that with Moxley and Jericho, but it has a little bit more of a different vibe because we're in this pandemic right now where it is so different. I think if we just, you put the title on Brody Lee, you have him be dominant, let it see where it goes, and let Moxley chase again.
Yeah, I mean, I like what you're saying there on that, because to me, like, in this current status where you don't have the crowds, I think it works better for somebody like Brody, for a heel faction, whatever, to work to be the top person in that, where you don't need crowd reactions, whatever. Like, and I agree with the chase. The only thing I'm concerned about is you built up Moxley, and if you take the belt away from him on what's really his second defense, but like, I just think it could potentially hurt him a lot. Yes, you can go back to the chase on that, and I think the only way it would work is if Moxley is absolutely the person who takes it back from Brody. Yeah. But I think to me it's too soon, just because, I mean, Moxley also was somebody who wasn't around on TV quite a bit after he got the belt. So I think it's too early. I personally would love to see the title change. I just don't think we will.
Yeah, I agree with you guys.
Given the current climate, it makes more sense to have somebody like Brody in his heel character with the faction have the title. Because like you said, Moxley feeds off the crowd. He's the face. He needs the crowd to support what he does. So
if they could have known this was happening, keep the belt on Jericho and let the Moxley chase continue.
Absolutely.
But it's just the position they find themselves in. But I would say going into this match, I think it's 50-50. We're either going to see Brody walk away with the title or we're going to see some kind of dusty finish.
And I think that's what makes it most interesting is because a lot of the times we go into these shows, we have our picks, you know, we have our favorites. We think we know who's going to win it, but really it's kind of like a flip of a coin. It is really toss up on this.
Yeah, I know. It's because, I mean, if they had crowds, maybe it would go to Brody Lee if we were dealing with crowds and you know, but I think it's both of them going to come out smelling good from this. I think it's a problem with WWE as well. They have new champions too that won it during this pandemic. So it's like, you know, they're not getting, you know, these guys are not getting an opportunity to work in front of a crowd. So then you have to, you know, why would you want to change titles? I mentioned earlier NXT swapped out their tag titles, you know, and put them on the Imperium, which was a great idea. I think it was going to happen eventually anyways, but, I think, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. We're going to get out of here. One last thing before we get out of here. And I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Thank you, Mr. DC Dan Cole. And thank you, Furby. What do you think about this Alberto Del Rio thing going on right now? And this is a very short.
Cancel him forever.
Alberto?
Is he going to be on season 5 of Dark Side of the Ring?
Yeah, I mean, he's working his way towards it. That's for sure. This weekend is the last one of the season. It's going to be all about Owen Hart.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, we have a lot. Yeah, so that's the. But
I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm also really not looking forward to it. But Tuesday night, 10:00 on Vice.
I just remember how much that influence that had on this show because that's the same night that he passed away was the same night that Channel 10 had done an expose on the show and they were going to run it at 11 o'clock news. And it's like they had to lead into us with a story about someone dying in the ring. So it's pretty sad. But guys, another week down. We'll try to do this again next week, hopefully. Maybe I'll see if I can contact AEW, see if anyone's available to come on in the morning and come on with us. I mean, it's been forever since we talked to Jericho, and he's got this Kiss cover band, you know, they might want to talk about, you know? Who knows, you know? I mean, we are like one of the only people still doing sports talk, wrestling talk on the radio. So I want to thank you guys for being available, and thank you folks for listening. You know, all our old shows are up on thepainclinic.net as well as on iTunes. Guys, have a great week and stay healthy, okay? See ya. We'll see you next week, folks.